Poetic peeps and gentle persons, in-betweeners and non-conformers, genders all and genders equal. Welcome to Eat the Storms, the poetry podcast. My name is Damien B. Donnelly. I'm the host and producer, and thank you so much for taking the time out today. Whether that's been on Spotify, Apple, Google, Breaker, Podbean, Player FM, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Castbox, Podcast Addicts or iTunes, and possibly a few other platforms that I've yet to realise we're playing on. Thank you for joining us for a show that is jam-packed, and I'm very excited because we have a show that's dedicated to new voices to the podcast, though perhaps voices that are very well known to you. We have voices that are just starting out, young poets just beginning. We have spoken word artists, visual artists swapping the pen for the brush, poetry slam winners and hosts. And we also have a special group today curated by Hot Poets in the United Kingdom as part of the collective We Feed the UK. So as usual here at Eat the Storms, we're digging in fields of diversity, and all that's required from you is to sit back, snuggle up on the sofa, pull the duvet up a little closer, park the car into a safe space so you can tune in or tune out, and make sure that there are suitable snacks, fine drinks and no distractions whatsoever. My name is Damien B. Donnelly, this is Eat the Storms, and I hope you enjoy the show. And kicking off the show for us today, we have a 16-year-old who is a transition year student currently in Killarney Community College. She's been writing poetry for the past 3 years and is looking forward to sharing it with an audience. I am delighted to welcome to Eat the Storms for the first time, Misha McCarthy.
Hello, my name is Misha McCarthy. I'm 16 years old and I'm from Kerry in Ireland. I'm currently in transition year in school and I'm trying to use this year to enter as many things as I can with my work. I'm using a portfolio that I've been building up for the past 2 or 3 years with work that I never really thought would go anywhere or that I'd ever do anything with. But this year I'm deciding to splash out and try and enter things and see if I get anywhere. This is a piece I wrote called Foot in Front of Foot. Foot in front of foot, walk through the door, take a deep breath and stare at the floor. I wish I could know that 3 weeks from now, it's all just over. Friends are all sober and we'll stop making jokes about dying this young. Start wanting to live, recall songs that we've sung. We'll end the harsh static that constantly sounds as hands rub together, promise not to be loud. We can patch up the ailments and try to forget, but the patchwork reminds us of why we're upset. The aches of our limbs are beginning to ease, because the end is in sight, but you don't know what that means. You don't understand, each grimace and blink, the times where we sit still and begin to sink. Keep moving, we tell ourselves, telling a lie. Nothing can stop us, not even a cry. Foot in front of foot, but mine are tied. We can't walk slowly home and use chats as our guide. We can't pass by houses concealed under moss and wonder what happened, if it was caused by a loss. If the green is a sign that that person sunk too, that they fell under stress and now plants grow loose, we can't go on like this. One day, we will take steps by steps by steps. Wave to the lady in her mossy home. Her husband passed away. We live for her bright tone. A stop in the shops, we buy ourselves sweets. Skittles like old days when each folder lay neat. Stacked in our shelves, those days are over now. But soon we will rest, while staying afloat, no ground for us to test. We won't sink downwards, we will walk with heads high, and pass by the search, see the spire reach the sky, nod at the priest, respect every side. We will find it again, that childlike wonder, time before sinking holes and sonder. We will march through the streets with hands held in hands, and feet in front of feet. This piece is called A Spring December. There's longing for something, snow fills up the sill, crowds bustle with confusion, what an odd sight in April. Frozen soil ceased months ago. Preparation began for spring. They thought, but now, regrettably, the birds no longer sing. Why must the season come back around? They're ready to move on. Although this town is blue and cold, he thought that they were strong. Minds of people speculate while he just sits to watch. For nothing he does can save himself from the chase, the fall, and catch. During the fall, they wished for sun, a want for brighter days. For light to absorb to his skin, not stuck in this chilling maze. But when winter returns around, a fit of pain ensues. He wished for light upon his presence, but now they suffer too. It's time for spring. He shouts with anguished cries, "Where are my new beginnings?" And they watch on with desensitized sighs. He wished this on himself. He may have thought that light was near, that spring had sprung again. But it's the coldest time of year, guilt for reoccurring love. This last piece is called The Merry Eyes. Lights sway back and forth, the rocking around, the wind upsets, all peace and security, bare from leaves, weak. The trees resonate with their own surrounding, fragility of beauty of this oh-so-holy night. An illness of spirit enclosed in a jollity, the infection of love, a winter's tale, dead plant amongst the thriving. Shining stars glimmer bright, sheen of plastic reeks of fake, so this is Christmas as so with hesitation. Sounds attempt convincing, all is calm, all is bright, mistruths grow and fester in chaotic darkness. Lack of sense, most wonderful time of the year, pain grows with this obligation, be the gleaming golden angel. It'll be lonely, this falsity, the costume crafted of lies, forced upon you by the pressure to sustain those merry eyes.
Next up on Eat the Storms, we have a young man who's been writing for a number of years, but only recently began to share his work on his Instagram page, which is red is the word, that is red dot is dot that dot word. He hopes in the coming years to publish a book of poetry and short stories, and I'm delighted to welcome him today for the first time to Eat the Storms. This is Dylan Franklin.
Hi, this is Dylan Franklin. I'd like to thank Damien for having me on the podcast for the first time. It's greatly appreciated. I'm going to go ahead and try to fit in three of my own works. Two dead foxes. A fox, rough but bushy-tailed, brought to life by love. His dark silver fur perks when in the distance so close, he sights a second fox. A more petite, delicate, and elegant fox, yet closed off and defensive. Though her vibrant red and white tail shoots up in the air when she spots something mysterious, mischievous, yet delightful. The uncut silver fox. They lock eyes. They jump and run through the fields and wood. All the while the sun flickering on and off like a light switch through the branches and harsh turns. The wood is so dense, running at such a speed leaves them with knocks and cuts, limping closer together and bleeding now. They finally reach one another. Energy is sapped, hearts are pounding, a light breeze surrounds them as they both have nothing left in them. A light but warm, comforting, perfect, oh so imperfect bristle between both shades of fur against one another. Their eyes only twinkle once more. They drop. Red lying softly on silver. The sun hits them to keep them warm as they take their final, relieving, jovial breath together. Two dead foxes. Lemon rain. tremble and simmer while the soft summer sizzles out. As the burnt grass is dampened by the mist and drizzle of the new day. Now the rainfall is heavy, the summer is over. Most things start to fall, some soon perish. The morning's glorious. Glorious glow, with the long cast of the sun's beams and the dew dripping from the now but few winter fruit and flora. Lemon rain. You can taste it with your breath and feel it before you wake. Such a sweet thing. Two, the most sour in the world. As you may look, but be wise on touch, as you may ruin it for everybody. Running. A man with a half-lit, fresh-cut, slightly smoked cigarette in his left hand stands strong and tall. A noise crackling and crawling closer. A slight tilt of the head, but no sudden moves. Creeping and weep, the noise does. Close it grows, breathing down the neck of love. No notice is taken, till the bushes rustle, and then he tussles to get away and run. Hurt and numb, his feet are blue, and he searched for you, or himself at that. Running. No stopping now, speeding guile, all the while. It was his, whatever is chasing, his heart is racing. Running, he is, from his fears and frets and old friends, hate or love, truth or lies, beads or eyes, sight or disguise. So run he does, and does some more. A dead end now, but he's not tore. He turns and face, it all goes away. The monster within is put back in. Running, running hard. It stops. He picks good. Evil within can come again. Look into the abyss and see the light. Feel the evil, yet do it right.
My next guests on the show today are a collective under the hashtag WeFeedTheUK. This is a poetry and photography series celebrating regenerative food production in the United Kingdom. The project has paired 10 poets with 10 farmers in 10 regions of the UK, and it tells the story of a better way of growing food, one that brings together communities and protects and restores nature. Commissioned by the Hot Poets and the Gaia Foundation. And we are starting with Abby Oliveira, who is a writer, performer, lyricist and music maker based in Derry in Northern Ireland, whose work has been commissioned by BBC Radio, Thoyle Radio, RTE Radio. And for the past few years, she's been involved with lots of collaborative work in her capacity as a spoken word artist, working with musicians, photographers, street theatre, acrobats and actors.
Sewing. The sky is falling in County Tyrone. 49 days from now it will bloom, wee blue blossoms. For 12 dashing hours, Lisette and Avion flowers will soft chew shuffle dance, then die. Turn in their graves, scattering seeds of next year's sky. The opposite of apocalypse. Pulling and stooking. A bad farmer pulls up the sleeves of her grandfather's old linen shirt. The bees and linnets have returned. Devil's Bit scabious and marsh fritillaries also pull up their sleeves. This gentle work is hard. But what farmer doesn't work hard? Volunteers gather to pull the yellowed flax with bare hands. They marvel at what can be achieved when we pull together as sheaves, stand together as stooks. Retton and scutcheon. The inspectors of Purple Hatch, the wild meadow. Deemed unproductive, the unbroken hedgerows. Meanwhile, the knapweed's busy supporting 40 different species. Bad farming, some call this. It would be easy to be pulled in by postcards. But this gentle work is hard. And so many eyes are straining through the bushes, looking answers. Coleman. The hedges offer bounties of opportunity. Hazelnuts, rose hips, berries, bring your baskets. This is not a dream, and yet it is. Spinning and weaving. Flax production turned Belfast into Linenopolis. The ultra-modern machinery of industrial revolution had no interest in weaving hyper-local circles. Linen forgot where it was reared. Factories rotted decades, centuries, millennia before their garments. But bad farmers know old rot makes for good fertilizer when you remember the lie of the land. There are other paths through the long grass, like the one taken very early in the morning to the 1940s scutcheon turbine awakening for the first time in 40 odd years to catch a glimpse of a vagrant emperor, to know the sky is not falling.
Next up, it's Chris Redmond, who is a writer, musician and multi-art form facilitator. He is the co-artistic director of Hot Poets, the founder of Tong Fu, and his career spans over 30 years working in 20 countries on 5 continents. His poetry and music has been featured on the BBC Radio, ITV, Sky Arts, CBBC, and featured in The Guardian and The Independent newspapers, and in 2023 he was shortlisted for the Outspoken Prize.
In Newlyn, Cornwall, moss greens the corrugated roofs of harbour wall workshops. Paint flaking doors and dirty windows mask coats on hooks. An anvil, rope, boots, quiet industry of men preparing for the sea. Beyond the wall, clouds of gulls circle and swoop, calling to each other, alive to the churning silver froth as ringnets pull treasure from the deep. The boats are out. Might be the only haul for a week. So if it's good, they'll unload and be back out the same day. Catch them when you can. Generations have fished here, salt water for blood. They know the seasons for sardines, hake, sole. They know when to rest and when to fish for gold. Many will use wider mesh to allow juveniles to escape, mature and spawn. Those dropping pots will check for berries, hundreds of glossy black eggs under the tails of lobster mums, carefully returned to the sea. Treasure needs time to grow. And if you care, you know, look after the sea and she returns the favor. Throw a few pilchards to the gulls. Before sonar, they would lead the boats to the shoals. Read the signs, read the catch, know how much to take and how much to put back. So when the trawlers came with line managers and crews with names from far away, They changed the game, called it profit and loss, called it catch as much as you can, bow to the supermarkets, whatever the cost. Dropped heavy metal beams, dragged huge nets with tiny mesh, scraped the seabed for everything they could get. Sell what you can, chuck what you can't. Porpoises, dolphins, birds, to sink dead to the sea floor. And the young ones, the bottom dwellers, they're ground down and sold as feed for salmon, chickens and cats. But pull on one small link and whole chains can collapse. If you remove sand eels, puffins, pollock and mackerel go hungry. In the North Sea, seabirds are struggling because trawlers have pulled out so many. How much is enough? In Galicia, Spain, fishers and scientists have made a marine reserve to protect stock. In the Faroe Islands, they've banned trawlers, said stop, return to hook and line. In Cornwall, there's talk of seaweed farms. Time to find new ways to profit and regenerate. Nature nurturers, small-scale scallop fishers, nets and pots, plastic-free stewards of the sea. Imagine laws that protect small fisheries instead of profiting international companies. Imagine supermarkets no longer ordering from the ocean like some massive briny factory. Imagine a future well-fed, locally led, boats smaller, labels clearer, prices fairer, fisherfolk once again working with what they know. When to fish for treasure and when to go slow. So, when their grandchildren stand, hold hands on the sea wall, they'll enjoy a harbour alive with it all. Boats with fresh hauls, a market, workshops with bright painted doors, coats, ropes and boots ready as the gulls call.
For our next guest, we have Iona Lee, who is a poet, artist, music maker, storyteller and spoken word performer from Edinburgh in Scotland. And for the past 10 years, she's been a leading light in Scotland's live poetry scene, appearing on radio and television and reading her work in venues and on festival stages all over the United Kingdom and Europe, including Glastonbury, the World Slam Championships in Paris and the Edinburgh International Book Festival. She won the John Byrne Award for her poetry film Away with the Fairies, and her debut poetry collection Anamnesis was shortlisted for the Edwin Morgan Poetry Award.
The Seed Kissed. Quite unassuming, this weather-beaten box. This once discarded ark. Forgotten, was left collecting cobwebs in the fallow dark. But look at what's locked inside. Keepsakes from seasons past. The seed kissed sewing kit now sits on this once forsaken seam between the Firth of Forth and the outskirts of our city, feeding a dream. Think of it like a library containing books that could be written, conserving what will be, given half the chance. Seeds, at once alive and latent, waiting with the patience of grain for winter's revolution, for faithful spring's refrain to do their life work. They have imagination. So do the people here. The curiosity of water. Can you see the orchard in that empty field? What stirs beneath the earth? Pass today through a riddle. We know the future from the past. They've planted willow, witch elm, aspen, alder, asked, what if? Why not? Let's try. Next year they'll harvest sweet corn, sweet pea, and dumpling pumpkin from the seed-kissed soil. Let them feed you a secret. Abundance is endless and ever replenishing. It's a perpetual motion, organic machine. like that old adage of rice on a chessboard. The hours on a sunflower's clock face add up to infinity. Community's the cure for nihilism when apathy is routine. The bee's ignition. To restart the garden, it begins with a spark, a bulb, the seed of an idea. Someone to lift the lid and see that what remains in the box is hope, homegrown. This disenchanted landscape can disclose, unforgetting what is always known, that there was never nothing here, only everything. And that matters. For what's a stretch of barren land but an understory? What's a seed, if not the promise of a tree? And what is one? There's never one, only many. So say, what is woodland but nature's green-hinged invitation, that canopy to which the future climbs, concert hall for an orchestra of songbirds, and what is a tune made of but time?
To Wales now for a multi-award-winning writer, performer, director and producer who was the National Poet of Wales between 2016 and 2022. He's published 6 volumes of poetry, contributed to many anthologies and authored several books on Welsh history. He's performed around the world from China to Cameroon and his work has been translated into over 20 languages. Reading in Welsh, this is Ivar Ap Glyn.
Estalwm a'n llwyth yn canlyn yr ambor o'r afon i'r rhos. Byddai'r plant yn rhedeg ar y blaen, y cyntaf i weld y borfa wlithog las o ben y bryn, a'i lleisiau brwd yn datgan cyfnod newydd. Heddiw, mae ffiniau ein ffermydd wedi gwnio'n glytwaith o geia dros ein gwlad, aros yn ei lle wna ffermwyr y llwyth gan fesur cynefin fesul tymor. Fesul cenhedlaeth. Ond maen nhw'n symud o hyd. Rhaid codi pac meddyliol rhag gorbori'r hen syniadau, rhag sbydu doethineb yr hen ffynhonna a'r plant sy'n arwain fel o'r blaen. Ac felly mae ym Mhen Bont. Mi ddo'n hefo nydwydd i cwestiynau ifanc i wnio mapiau newydd yma. I ddysgu gan hwsmoniaid hun sut mae cadw'r gwrchoedd rhag raflo, neu frodio tylla bytyma o goed ar frest y cae. Ac nid ryw youthwash mo hyn, cant ddweud i dweud o gwmpas bwrdd, cyn torchi llewis i adfer glyptir, lapio glân, neu hel ysgubau ceirch, benni lawr i fagiau papur, a phob un yn dwy'n enwau hen obaith, ceirch ieuan, hen gardi, a Maldwyn. Ac nid bwtwm reset mo hyn i gyd, nid cynfas wag i ryw wynfa ddi sut. Mae yna wersi o hyd yn yr hen enwa, Cae Bedw, Cae Reithin, y Wern. Ac mae coleri high-tech heddiw yn dysgu i'r ddafad neu'r fuwch sut mae pori. Fel y gwnau'r hen geirw gynt, yn ddwys ac yn sydyn. Cyn y cân o'i hwrdio yn ei blaen a'r tir yn gorffwys wedyn. Ac mewn gwlad lle by tai unos bosib, nid yw popeth heddiw yn gadael trwy giat y ffarm. Mae yma lyncu carbon, dal glawogydd rhag troi'n llifogydd, cynefin i'r gylfinir neu i organebau'r pridd. Yr hen awyr a'r ifanc y dybia, meddai'r hen air, ond mae angen egni ifanc i'n gwefreiddio pan fo ffermwyr ein gwlad neu'r rhan fwyaf yn heneiddio. Ac haws iddynt hwyrach roi clust i'r to iau hefo'i holi naif neu ddiniwad nac i ddynion y weinyddiaeth, a'i deddfau, a'i dysgeidiaeth. Ac ym Mhen Bont, mae yna rannus a bwyntiau. sgwrs ddynamic all greu stori newydd i'n tir. Cydweithio fel hyn yw'r dyfodol heb os, un llwyth, lluosog, dinas ganolog sydd dal angen i wala o'r wlad. Ac mae lleisiau'r ifanc yn gweiddi'n frwd yn ôl o ben y bryn sydd o'n blaen, a boed i ni agor ein clustiau megis cynt i'r hyn y mae nhw yn ei weld.
And our final guest today as part of the We Feed the UK collective curated by Hot Poets is Testament, an acclaimed poet, rapper, playwright and record-holding beatboxer. His work includes the spoken word theatre show Orpheus in the Record Shop, which was broadcast on BBC TV, poetry performances for radio and television, and the celebrated play Black Men Walking. Most recently, a spoken word beatbox radio play, Daughter, received a special commendation and nomination for Best Drama at the BBC Audio Awards 2023. Testament's work has been published in several anthologies and used as a teaching resource internationally at several schools and universities.
The autumnal morning cold on this farm up in the lakes. One bloke, two bloke. The third one's on the way. Fingertips in well-worn work gloves, sharpened chainsaw, heads crowned with caps so as not to snag on thorns. Pair of nippers lie on the grass beside a small sheathed axe. Dad, sideburns but clean shaven. And his lad, young, 19, moustached. Talk of managing these lands, the trees, brief chat, then proceed with the task at hand. Ligging. A tradition, a practice, encouraging growth in hedgerows, boundaries made organic between farmland's different zones, dividing those fields with different uses, creating that simple beauty of the distinctive English countryside that we all know. And so, the lig. Lines of undergrowth overgrown, tangled with blackthorns, hawthorns, and two men standing, pruning misguided branches. It's the son who bends a hawthorn tree towards dad, who chainsaws then axes. Then the weight of them both, father and son, pull the tree downward, creating a lig. Laying it down, yet still connected to the stump. This vital link looks tenuous, but nature doesn't need much. Life, the sap, will always find its way up. Skillfully twisting boughs into breaks, cultivate a network of linking, artistically shaping, weaving a new lineage. Grandad turns up. They pass him the nippers, he passes them advice, tending more than 7 miles of hedgerows, linking much more than 3 lifetimes. An ancient tradition puts these on the cutting edge of the field. Renewed culture of agriculture, from roots to the fruits that it yields. These hedgerows become home to the hedgehog, the vole, field mouse, attracting owls, tree sparrows, black caps, white throats, bugs, butterflies and bees, so pollen and seeds are cast on the breeze. A grandfather ligs, ligs a father, a son. They say love the little stuff and the bigger stuff will come. Sooner than you think, the lig turns green, moss and lichen. And with over 130 species inside them, the hedgerow shows when a barrier can be a corridor. For life to move through, build a hedge, not walls. And if you don't lig, if someone asks why, then you'd be left with a row of trees that would blow over and die. See, to lig is poetry, cutting and bending lines so new life will come. Inking with saplings across landscapes, collecting carbon, writing with hawthorn, blackthorn, and willow with cursive hand. A trio of landowners with the onus on the land. The lig is up, and they leave to go home, while these seemingly broken trees breathe new growth.
My next guest on Eat the Storms today is the winner of the All-Ireland Poetry Slam 2023 and a member of the Poetry Kiln Collective. She is a poet and singer-songwriter based in Dublin, a mother, a teacher, a drama therapist with a passion for inclusion, education, reform and social justice. Her poems are raw, honest, relatable portrayals of her experience of the human condition in all its grime and glory. Joining us to read two spoken word pieces from her Soul Rebellion collection, this is Anna D.
Matrescence. First one ripped right through me, tore through my identity, made a wound of me. Giant gash going top to soul, I bled out slow, bleeding out all that made me up of who I was. Dancing, singing, tunes and sessions, positivity and passions, connection to a higher power, and all of those colours just sucked out of me. Left but a puddle, muddy, murky, milky. Spilling through the day, every shade of white turned grey, just blending into the matted spot on the rug beneath my feet. As I sat, cradling her and a cup of stale tea, staring at TV, vulnerable as she, but no one's cradling me. I turned stone cold. I couldn't ask for help, couldn't be that bold. No desire to sing now, no stories told. No songs or visions did unfold, no opening or connecting to anything but this perfect thing that I had to be perfect for. No less. Oh, shh. Oh, no more. And then perfection, the ruination of me, running round on zero sleep, longing for warmth but wouldn't let him touch me, so cut off, yet so in need. And he so isolated too, in need of Z's, catching so few, getting no empathy from you. What else could happen? Attack to defend, new game that won't end. Call of Duty, emotional warfare, parental despair. I thought we did prepare. I don't remember any of this in the fucking antenatals, do you? Yeah, right you do. Oh, I'm glad I hit a wall instead of him. But now the swelling and the broken skin, it shows the world I'm struggling. Just for them to respond, ah, but it's all worth it though. Yeah, I know. Sweet mandated joy for sweet girl or boy. None of that bitter raw and realness, pleasey. You're making us feel uneasy. Bird story making us queasy. Save that for your partner, yeah? Hard to know where to start there. And yet, we sorted it out by some grace from above. Couples counselling, a couple nights of love, but took a couple of years and doing a couple of yokes for me to see that bloke as who he was again, though. So, don't be afraid if it's super slow for all your shit to go back into place. You are not a failure. Your love is not a disgrace. You're just becoming parents. And society didn't set you up well for it. Left adrift, emotionally unsupported, financial debt's door. It can be suffocating. Insta-pressure sticks there, then there's work and childcare and unsolicited comments that make you feel shit just because you're not doing it how they done it. But look, you live and you learn, though you're broken to bits. And those cuddles and loves drag you back from the pits. You've a fuck ton of worries, a shit ton of to-dos, all the while trying to claw back those pieces of you. But that wound, it's gonna heal, mama. Cause your strength is unreal, mama. So set clear boundaries and rest. And don't sell yourself short. But if you're not yourself, please get some support. You will never be the same again. Not truly. But you will piece back together like a work of kintsugi. Until one day, not so grey. As you notice, the colour has gradually seeped back in. For joy. There's something vicious inside of me. Black tar viscous at the core of me. It's so massive and powerful. It's fucking terrifying. I didn't even earn this trauma. No crash, rape, fall, no blood on the wall. Just little tease and a big disease. Incurable. But I'm durable. I've a strength next to none and I'll get this shit done. 36-year-old mum staring out the window of my little box room in rehab at the magpies flying over the trees. And here, I'm free to just allow all this pain and not over-explain or make excuses to push through this. Saint that I am, sticking to my 5-year plan, busy, busy, getting dizzy, but the faster I ran, the sorrier my state. But kept spinning those plates till one breaks. And like a house of cards, they fall down hard and all the sharpest shards shower shrapnel scars through me. And all I tried to hold together floats away as flight of feather. It's all out the window now with the birds. And all I'm left with is the wordless whisper of the wind that shakes the branches and lifts my wings. Nowhere to hide, dear. Deep breath. And glide. Here. I'm free. It's fucking liberating. But I know all that's out there waiting. All the thick, juicy lines of baiting. All the ways we compensate for reality. All the ways we distract from distress. All the things that result in this mess. And yes, I've got this gaping black hole, but I've got so much love in my soul. It's a cliche, but it's true. It's just bound and restricted, so it winds up addicted to things that it shouldn't do. And I bet the same happens to you. Not just drink and drugs or sex and love, but behaviours you're enslaved to. Are you staring in the mirror? Speaking badly to yourself? Are you skimming through your newsfeed? Comparing yourself to everybody else? Are you fretting about something you want instead of living in the moment? Or fixating on something you don't really need? TikTok made you think you want it. Are you worried about your weight? Because you think the skinny is all that's pretty. And you're thinking, she's better than me. But there's nobody greater or lesser than you. You're struggling to find your way and I don't blame you. Soul screaming to be set free. Desperately trying to just fucking be. It's so hard to find a home for your fire. And this whole poxy system is dire and you're getting so weary and tired, turning cynical and jaded, sick of the shit that you've waded through because we're people too long on our knees. So we reach for some comfort and ease till the day that you feel the cold breeze of the hurt you'd been constantly shirking because the things that you reach for stopped working. So now your only choice left is to face that thick darkness. There's no turning back because once you get started, the only way forward is through. So you sit and you take in the view and you count all the magpies. 1, 2.
My next guest on the podcast today is a Brazilian migrant living here in Ireland. His work has appeared in places like Skylight 47, Poet Lore and The Trumpet. In 2023, he was selected for Poetry Ireland's Introduction Series and awarded the Irish Writers' Centre Tyrone Guthrie Centre Lacuna Bursary in 2024. I am very pleased to welcome to Eat the Storms for the first time Rafael Mendes.
For the boys in the hood. 1. You should know this. Herded up the road by his killer, his hand tied in a taut knot of fishing net, whose strength had worn out shoals of tilapia. Like Jesus on the cross, his face is serene and teaches us a lesson. There is a moment in life when putting up a fight has no use. Accept destiny, accept chance, accept you are going to die. Preserve a face saying, "It's okay, Mom, it's okay." Set lemon cake and a cup of coffee in my place at the table. read me the news, tell me about footballers whose crystal ankles have been damaged, tropical storms in Bogota, and kites flying in Antarctica. 2. Our adults arrived after the factory's bell. They gathered at Maria's, the locus for buying bread, playing pool, drinking cachaça, and punishing those who transgresses unwritten codes. A man's hair was coated with cement dust of houses he built for a minimum wage. A woman's hands smelled of children she didn't deliver but loved like her own. Our adults used the occasion to cry the pain locked into their chests. Marriages that had gone rotten but didn't fit in black bean bags. The disillusionment caused by the new mayor, whose promise of paving the street died as he took up the office, and the first rainy season muddled our shoes. Against the setting sun, the police helicopter looked like a coin of fire. He was lifted into the sky and toured the neighborhood. Winter Street, Summer Street, Autumn Street, Springs Street, Hills Street. Lanes he had impressed with his blue-eyed beauty. We waved from the football field. No one mustered the courage to kick the ball he had left for us. 3. The adults kissed our sleep and off to work they went, crossing transport modes with a 120-minute ticket, squeezed amongst lip doppelgangers, calculating which bills would be deferred until the Christmas bonus, carrying lunch boxes and praying for the beans not to go sour. Our unspoken obligations printed in the routine. Attend class, feed siblings, and walk them to school. Then don't get killed, don't break bones or furniture, never return home crying after a fight. Scorched by disheartened sun, we conquered empty streets. Staging wars, castor beans missiles striking the bamboo groove and abandoned fuscas, and making our hands itchy. Venturing into the eucalyptus forest, walking barefoot, the brow and skin bent, downsized by the relentless repetition of bark destined to be paper. We built a dam and a canoe. Like colonizers, we cut trees, tamed the fish, evicted João de Barro, and ruled the land. Resting under the trees, sharing salted mangoes. We swam till mothers announced their arrival to the entire neighborhood. Glowing fireflies, our names crimson in the night. His name, an echo fluttering through our lives. So this poem is a part of a series of poems that I'm writing, investigation, childhood, and memories of home. The next is also part of a series of poems I'm calling The Migrant Dictionary. Home, noun. 1. The place of residence of a person or family, as in her home had been built by her grandfather who had built her aunts and uncles' houses too. Her home's roof had as many holes as a chain fence, so during summer, when clouds parked and burst above the village, she recorded the rhythm rising from the collision of raindrops against buckets and plastic pots that once stored butter, composing the anthem of poverty. When the terrorists arrived, her home was the first to burn down. When she left the hideout, soot was falling from the sky and she thought that God was coughing up her life. 2. The social unit formed by a family living together. She cooked for the 13 people living in temporary accommodation her family had moved to. There was jollof rice, fufu, and powdered yam. As they ate, she heard Romina saying that Mexican rice used the same long grain and some of the spices found in jollof. She mentally noted down Zalika's jerk chicken recipe, which reminded her of the peri-peri chicken she had eaten in a Mozambican restaurant. Later, as she washed the dishes, she thought this might be a home. This next poem was written the day during the pandemic, early days of the pandemic. I was living in Barcelona, and the Spanish government allowed us to leave the house and go places during the summer solstice, so which is a very important holiday in Barcelona. So it's called San Juan. Our mint-flavored lips kindled one another as we drank white Cuban rum. By the third round, we were dancing to a beat fast as a revolutionary song. The bar's loo was a modest version of the Amazon forest. green tiled floor and grass green walls merging with a dwarf banana tree and its waxy leaves. Outside, eclipsed by thick halos of tobacco smoke, a pinkish red cathedral and a plaza, bottles of wine clinking, different rhythms of laughter, and 10 youths ready to fall in love. Summer solstice celebrations all over the city, each body shining like the blast of 1,000 suns. This next poem, it's again an investigation about memories of family and memories of childhood. Searching grandfather. 25% of what I am is made of you. 2.5 fingers pigmented in vitiligo patches after the beeswax volcano eruption accident. An equal part of fibrotic toes whose inability on the pitch accelerated uncle's enamel decline, retracted his nails. Fractional parts of corneas, lens, and optic nerves, but not the iris. Melanocyte cells dismiss the inheritance of your green eyes. Double helix structures found in your follicles, glide vessels slimed and inflamed by cigarettes. A hook preying on each of your tributaries. Your name on my birth certificate amounts to a word void of meaning, a faceless uterus is spilling too off into my offshoot. Out of your absence, I fantasize and recollect. Going for bread and cheese, we come upon a tray of faro ants, section a skinless apple, and recite a tale about saving a portion of today's abundance for tomorrow's misery. Leaning on the fence, we watch waves of Nandlore cattle roaming forage crops, their tails whipping flies, their hoofs digging and tossing soil into the milk-scented afternoon. Unashamed like a war criminal, I display your surname, hoping to be identified, to be patted on the shoulder in a bar by a man whose long-dead friend carried the same title, and I the word by dint of two imperial jades. And this is my last poem, and it was written during a workshop with the writer Fiona O'Rourke. In autumn, water flares with spring's brown mixture of emperor moths and frog hoppers. In autumn, we perform tunes in the scales of fallen birch leaves. We witness light walking away like a lover. In autumn, the waft of cardamom seeds and saffron stigmas are preserved inside glass jars. We simmer the vegetable stock for the incoming shivering. We anoint blankets and scarves with fresh lilies. In autumn, never started New Year's resolutions are surrendered. We count our failures and accept our body's demise. In autumn, we long for mother's bosom, the umbilical cord safety. Watching the afternoon receding face, lying on the lake like milk skin, we long for the memories of what could have been. Thank you. Obrigado.
Next up, we are heading to County Kildare for an artist originally born in County Longford, who spent much of her life as a hotelier, but then turned towards the arts, and her first solo exhibition of paintings was just over 20 years ago. And since then, she has been writing poems to mark the milestones and to simply, at times, rest between the painting. Both the painting, the poetry and the prose are a process of reduction, isolating the essential ingredients of the subject, distilling it down and building the image around it. Taking a break from writing her poetry collection to join us today, this is Zita McGarry.
After the secret. The chat before now lays in front, the road increased in distance, as this heart clamps around the sounds for the path of least resistance. The words fell out as if felled free, and the ground is broken glass. Regrets press down around me now and allow the pain to pass. For secrets told are shouldered up, displaced along the shore, and the broken glass of a burdened pass turns sand forevermore. Dying in full health. I am dying in full health. The dreams I once forged with hammer and heat, now barely remembered. I am dying in full health. Well-wroth worries that tangled and danced, trustingly unfurl and smelt out. Past sorrows diluted with love, then deliberately dropped as I walked toward the light, my burden shed, my love approved, pushing my new self into the full. My lips are sealed. My lips are sealed. Your secret safe with me. A frantic face behind a mask lies dormant, twitching internal, eyes darting external. My lips are sealed, your secret safe with me, that love lies hidden beneath an ancient ache. My lips are sealed, O passion's secret takes residency in the heart, a home to house regret. Where courage as a lodger lies within its quiet rooms, to open up vast windows and let truth's light come in. My lips are sealed. My skin contains the fever of the thing that melts the mind and holds the heart and begs emotions sing. New shoes. Captured feet snug within strong shoes. Heat measured warm. Lattice lace worked well, binding leather to forward step. The structure of the thing pulls me in, midsole, sure-footing my advance, heel and tip with love's arms around. Waterproof, windproof, I am weatherproofed now, hugging the happy street, pushing forward to meet the man who loves me and my feet. The ship of normal. Who looks so deeply at the crack in the bark to seek out its secret sap, or fingers loose earth at the base of a tree to wake life from its winter's nap? Who digs the words to match the colour? Who wraps the text around from the ground and all around? I am the writer. Who dives dangerous deep into the eyes of their love to fathom their liquid blue? The ship of normal sailed long ago as I immerse in the writer's hue. Overthinking. Is it not through honest introspection that life becomes embroiled? That thought canal, entangled in the reeds, magnify and surge, demolish in order to command. That slow analysis of mouth and movement, delivering us headfirst into hurt, driving us forward toward ambition, and through hurt emerge a graduate of sufferance. Are we not self-propelled, heady with the fuel of inspiration, submerging underwater into conflict, and turning up toward the surface breaking, emerging wildly to a place of breakneck contemplation?
For my penultimate guest today, we are heading to Berlin for a British-Irish poet and performer and printmaker whose work has recently appeared in the London magazine, and he recently performed his poetry in Poland as part of the Palace Conservatory Collective Residency. He's also performed in multiple venues in Germany, particularly writing poetic texts for his performance collective Organized Chaos. His work often centres around queer and gay experiences, intimacy and connection. I am delighted to welcome to Eat the Storms for the first time, Bill Roberts.
Hi, I'm Bill Roberts. I'm a poet. I'm originally British, but I live currently in Berlin. and I would like to read for you a few poems today. Thank you so much for this chance, Damien. Big fan of the podcast. So this first poem is called Candle Shopping in Muji. Candle Shopping in Muji. Fir tree, off-white with a touch of peppermint green. Post-embrace we stumble through city west. Our eyes sparkle like snow-kissed pine needles. Peony and rose. You say you don't like this one. Too floral, I agree, as you examine the label. A flower that reminds me of nursing homes. You say it's supposed to bring good luck. Roses? I ask. Peonies, you say. I look at your hand as it slinks the product back to the shelf. How your minimal dark knit jumper slips back, reveals your wrist, your dark hairs, your well-kempt fingernails. We both reach for the next one, our arms outstretched, a contrast to last night when you restrained them behind my back and kissed me deep. We were knotted flesh. I notice your face, your beard, sea salt and sage, the scent of a length of ship's rope, a vessel bound to the jetty so it cannot float away. A briny wave crashes and breaks across my face. Short of breath, I deep inhale the water and bergamot. The cup of Earl Grey you sipped in that coffee shop. We are malleable candle wax. In its hardened form, hierarchies, padlocks, power play. But today, a soft and haptic putty. I ask you, what is green fog and vetiver? You make a game of the unknown. We try to identify it by sniffing. You offer a flower. I offer some kind of rock. You offer the sweat of an animal. I offer the temptation of a kiss. Our faces close in on each other's. Amber and sandalwood. The one you chose. Which seems appropriate as it smells like you. When you let me breathe your pheromones or kneel before you. Intoxicating scents and smiles and smells and spit. This next poem is called Daffodils, and it was first published in the London magazine. Daffodils. The daffodils are trying hard to say fuck you to the Berlin winter. They emerged in January, broke through the soil. A complete disregard for nature. On the balcony, gloves, watering cans, unsown packets of seeds, summer memories abandoned, mauve-tinted dead asters, a forgotten sense of lust, all conspire to make up overlapping constellations. Orion's belt, Cassiopeia. Something major, something minor. Having outgrown their pot, a black plastic number, functional rather than decorative. Two plants lay on the concrete floor. Winter saw their death, and they have lain there, desiccated, in their last embrace since November, their complex root systems exposed to the cruel Berlin winter. A trowel points towards the spilled earth that we said we would clean away before winter came. Forgotten secateurs idly threatened to cut back dead plants and brush that grew in last year whilst we sat in the late summer heat and planted the daffodils together. This next poem is called G and Pills or A Beautiful Young Man. A boy that you kissed once amid a pulsating dance floor, whose soft lips and saliva taste never went away. A boy that you never saw or spoke to again. Not because you didn't want to. You just didn't exchange contact details in the sweat of the moment. Raised heartbeats, dilated pupils, his hand falls between your skin and underwear. his smile before his kiss slid onto your tongue, then swallowed up by the crowd at the club. He was, by all accounts, a beautiful young man. And now he has died. This next poem is kind of a love poem. It's called Tender Magic. You described me as tender magic, and I called you a list of the most beautiful things I could see in the room. A half-rolled cigarette with a fray of tobacco clinging to the paper. A twist of rope used as a keychain. A mess of yesterday's clothes left pooled by the bed. A note adorned with your illegible handwriting. A three-week-old to-do list half-crossed off and otherwise forgotten. A two-day-old glass of water set by the bed, unfinished. You called me a gentle giant, and I recalled everything I like about your face. Your crow's feet, uneven lips, those lines that go from your lips to the corners of your mouth, the asymmetrical shape of your eyebrows, your hair where it meets your face in a soft fuzz, the line on your forehead that you worry will deepen with age, but that I love, your soft earlobe between my fingers. You called me your lover, and I called you a list of my favourite scents. Petrichor, concrete after rain, skin lathered with sun cream, the old pennies in a jar on the table by my bed, almond oil warmed by the hands of a masseur, burnt out birthday candles, wax dripping towards the cake, the sweat of loved ones after a night of dancing, your bed sheets after we have slept together in them.
For my final guest today, I'm delighted to welcome a very familiar voice to the podcast who's been with us not only on one of our regular episodes, but also who joined us as one of the contributors to our audio companion for The Storms, our printed journal issue 2. She is a poet and dramatist from Dublin, has written for stage and screen, and in recent years has become more known for her poetry and certainly her spoken word as a winner of the Kirch International Festival in 2018. An All-Ireland Poetry Slam finalist in 2019 and a regular on the Word stage at Electric Picnic. She is currently the co-curator of Rising Tide, a regular event that features poets and spoken word performers around the country. And the next event is here in Dublin at the Pearse Street Library on Wednesday the 8th of May, where she has, among others, Colm Keegan, Unorthodox Kulak, David Hines and the Vagabond Queen, who you've already heard on the podcast. She is also currently the host and curator of the Fingal Poetry Festival's Regional Poetry Slams, taking place in libraries around Fingal. The final will be held in September at the actual Fingal Poetry Festival, which is where I first met her 2 years ago when I took first prize in the Balbriggan Slam and third place in the finals. The first slam was this week in Balbriggan and I got to be a judge, and it was a fantastic evening of voice and diversity, and Sheila was the star host. There are more slams on the way from Blanchardstown and Swords, so keep an eye out on the Fingal Poetry Festival website and all their social media pages. But for now, I'm overjoyed to welcome back to the podcast Sheila Ryder.
Damien, thank you so much for inviting me onto your podcast. I'm very excited and feel very honoured to be sharing some of my poems today. So this first one is one of the first poems I wrote, and it's about the sea, how much I love it and what it does for me when my mind can go mad. The sea, its straight fine line against the sky, its gleaning glimmer on a peaceful day, waves crashing and that white, shimmery fizz that gathers at the shore. I love it all. But what ice-cold sea can give me above all else is mind freeze. An overthinking mind is a curse. You lose control. It's like being in a box. The walls closing in and you're ricocheting back, forth, up and down, tearing yourself apart with the fear you'll never break free, breathe again. What are you going to do? Are you ever going to win? Should I be better? Will I ever be enough? Is the world eventually going to just give up on us? Questions, words, phrases, memories, people, insults, TikTok, TikTok. What am I doing? Stop. But I can't. I've gone too far. I'm stuck. I might as well give up and let my mind run free. But then I remember the sea. The beautiful sea. And mind freeze. That will save me. I gather my things. My mind's still manic, but now I've had this thought. It interrupts the rest, punctuates the mess. The sea, the sea, the sea is black today. And utterly uninviting. It stabs my feet. The cold ice creeping up my legs. My body immersing in the salty freeze. My shoulders, neck. Mine screams, what the heck? Get me out of this torture. Abort the mission. I'll stop. I promise I'll stay and I won't run away. Before numb sets in. Pockets at first. Then little by little, stunning the senses and physical feeling. Until finally. The cool, calm, luscious beautifulness of mind freeze. No more thinking, no more anguish or fear, nothing but numb. And sea and sky and big wide open world and the liberating walk from the water. My mind fresh and new, utterly exhausted with joy. And the relief I feel and will always remember, it calls me again and again back to the sea, to the beautiful sea. I'd like to share a few short ones now, just various thoughts and observations and experiences about the madness of living in your 40s in today's world. This first one is called Soup. We stand in chaos, glaring, ready to fight, throw the pot of soup over smarmy head, and it dawns. We've been duped. Yes, definitely duped. Having children, giving them our lives, our self-respect, our time, our sex drive. That's ideal life, isn't it? Duped. Like fools. Sometimes it's grand. We have space, a free mind, lightness in the soul, see smiling faces, know they are the greatest thing. Other times, just duped. We reunite, drink our soup. Hanging from a brush by my fingernails. I wander through time and space, looking for a relic that will bring me home. To see myself in the rubble of all that's past, to know my roots, to feel connected. Instead of hanging loosely from a brush by my fingernails, I'm diving into me with a stick. Because I have had it. The endless poking around, pleasing and cajoling insecurity out. Self-doubt, holed up in there for years. It's laughing at me now. Relishing in my gasps and howls of regret. Believing I will never dig deep enough. Well, I have been patient long enough. So I'm diving into me with a stick. And once and for all, for better or for worse, I am going to scour the bastard out. Put an end to it. Finish on one called Lady. It's a response, kind of a response poem to a song called I'm the Man by The Killers. I love The Killers. They're one of my favourite bands. And I really like Brandon Flowers writing. So when he came out with this song, I'm the Man, I just felt compelled to see what a version of that would be like for women, and whether I would ever have the nerve to perform it. But I have, and I did. So this is Lady. But just before I do, I wanted to say thanks again to Damien for having me on the podcast. And I wanted to do a shout out for the Fingal Poetry Slams. We had our first one. I host them. I've been hosting them for the last 3 years. And we had our first one in Balbriggan. So it's a monthly slam that leads to the winners of each monthly slam go forward for the Grand Slam as part of the Fingal Poetry Festival in September. And this year it'll be on 13th of September. So it's a huge honour to host these slams and bring together so many different poets, all different levels, just coming together in a really gorgeous celebration of poetry. So please have a look at the Fingal Poetry Festival website. Check out the dates. There's three more coming up, three more monthly slams, and they're all held in libraries because it's in collaboration with Fingal Libraries. Okay, so this final one then is Lady. I am Lady, standing strong. I am in the zone, my hand on my heart. I don't need likes or views. I wear the gown. Nothing can take me down. The race was rigged, but I played the game. Now I'm willing to win, so step out of my way. It's my time. I have the stars on my side. Universal explosion, astrological drive. I am Lady. Roots in the ground. Nothing can take me down. I am Lady. A magical sound. You can't take me down. I dance in the rain. I have a tolerance for pain. I've got a message for you, baby. You are a lady. I've got rock and roll. I've got fire in my soul. I have a message for you, baby. You are a lady. Born to lead, I am the missing link, out busting the world or by the kitchen sink. I don't need likes or views. I'm wearing the gown. Nothing can take me down. I'm the Big Bang. I am Mother Earth. I have nature in my veins. I have given birth. Contrary to perception, hormones rule. A magical blend, they bring depth to the cool. I am Lady, and I'm making a stand. Nothing can take me down. I am Lady with a plan in my hand. You can't take me down. I sing in the sea. I hike mountains when I bleed. I've got a message for you, baby. You're looking at a lady. I've got R&B. I've got power and Machree. I have a message for you, baby. You are looking at a lady. Who is Lady? The one with the plan? Who's the lady? You are. We are. I am.
Today I'm going to leave you with one of my poems, which was recently published in the Extraordinary Impossible Archetype. So a huge shout out and thank you to its editor, Mark Ward. This poem began its life at the John Hewitt International Festival last year, where I was a bursary recipient. And during a workshop with Siobhan Campbell, a number of phrases and idioms were put up on the board. And one of them, written incorrectly, was "live horse eats grass" instead of "live horse and eat grass." But I read it as "live horse eats grass," and this is the poem that was born. So thank you to the wonderful poet Siobhan Campbell for its beginning. Before us, live horses eat grass. On a ferry, Helsinki winds cannot cut through the thick layer of skin that strangles you. Before us, live horses eat grass. Downstairs at Yuri's, candlelight distinguishes brick, bone, body, meat. Before us, live horses eat grass. Post-digestion, we confess preferred tastes, till the waitress confirms it was horse, dead, once fed on grass. Before us, live horse ate grass. After us, you slip from skin, slip to Spain to have your meat sliced off. Before us, live horses eat grass. After us, after him, you now as a woman, swallow the beast who was never whole. Poetic peeps and gentle persons and betweeners and nonconformers, genders all and genders equal. We've reached the end of another episode of Eat the Storm, the poetry podcast. My name is Damien B. Donnelly, your host and producer, and thank you so much for tuning in. Whether that has been on Spotify, Apple, Google, Breaker, Podbean, Player FM, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Castbox, Podcast Addicts or iTunes. A huge thank you to all of my incredible guests on today's show. It has been truly a show of diversity, not just of theme and topic, but also of accent. And to find details of all of my guests on today's show, you can head on over to the website www.eatthestorms.com, click on the podcast section, and there, of course, you will find a blog post for every episode. This was episode 10, season 8, and in that blog post for today's episode, you will find photos, social media handles, bios, and links to where you can find, follow, and be fans of all of these guests. Next week, remember, it's a bumper week because it's Poetry Day Ireland, so we have our very special episode of the podcast airing on Thursday, the 25th of April, from 3 p.m. in the afternoon. This is the All-Ireland Poetic Relay Race, and I get to welcome 32 poets to the podcast. Each poet will read one poem to represent one of the 32 counties on the island of Ireland. This year's theme is Good Sports, so why not tune in on your preferred podcast platform and listen to the poets hand the baton from one county to the other while sitting in the comfort of your own armchair without needing to break a single sweat? What better way is there to celebrate sport? So that's Thursday the 25th from 3 p.m. on your preferred podcast platform. And also look out for a special trailer. There will be a video dropping shortly on YouTube to celebrate the poets who will be taking part. Then, of course, on the Saturday, we have another episode, this time celebrating the awardees of this year's Northern Soul Roadshow. So it's going to be a busy week for the podcast and me as host and producer. So thank you all so much for tuning in today and look forward to seeing you all again next week. Until then, stay safe, stay well, keep smiling, keep dreaming, and most importantly, stay bloody poetic.
Oh, thank you.